Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Can you see my phone on the table there?
No, because we'll have food and breakfast and stuff.
It's just, I don't like having papers on the table. What's the big thing that we want out of it? How are you? You can see, okay?
Good to see you.
How are you? Nice to meet you. Okay, hi, okay? We're just debating. Did you play 18 times for United or 30?
I don't know.
18 it was.
18. Wow, that's a lot.
18.
But you but wait.
That's a long 2 years in Manchester.
I got. Yeah. True.
Where did you live in Manchester? Where did you live when you came?
Hale. The place to be. The place to be is Hale, right?
Where all the posh people live.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Whereabouts? So he rents the house.
Roy also lives there, I think, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So that's why the posh people.
Yeah. All the football players live in Hale.
Right. Dankeschön.
Sorry, I'm
doing it. You need to learn. Servus. Dankeschön.
Servus. Dankeschön.
Yeah.
It's not a particular.
And mir san mir. Very important.
What's this one?
Mir.
Mir.
San mir.
Mir san mir.
Typical Bavarian.
Yeah.
Which what's that mean?
That's
we are.
Yes. We are who we are.
That's written in the Church of Bayern Munich here.
Ah, okay. Yes, I'm here. What happened that summer?
You want to know? I trained with the under 16 team. Other players playing in your position, and you actually think. I think that I'm actually better than this guy. I mean, Pep is incredible. I knew. Yeah. That I'm physical stronger than them.
Yeah, yeah.
Xavi, Iniesta. It was actually all there. But you just needed to put the puzzle together. Why are you looking so scary?
What is that?
It's the white sausage. The Weißwurst.
Oh,
you get spoiled, scary.
And what's this? This is a milky mustard.
Sweet, yes, sweet one.
I want to talk about Manchester United. How did that come about? You're at Bayern, you've been here all your life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the call comes from Manchester. Who makes that first call to you?
Actually, you have to start with, you know, when you were, and for sure it happened to you as well, but when you played for United and you were sitting at the massage table and Rod was giving you a massage or whatever, and then former players came in who played abroad and they spoke about how nice it is to be abroad, the experience and
yes.
all this stuff.
Yeah.
I had the same. So I had like those players who came to Bayern to visit and spoke about it. So you're kind of curious a little bit always. So, but for me, my dream was always to win the Champions League with Bayern Munich. That's why I was working the whole time, like in my life actually. And then the dream became true. And then there was a moment when you had a feeling, okay, maybe you just want to feel something different.
Yeah.
And see something different. And when we faced Old Trafford, I always said, like, this stadium, this is amazing. Like, the fans, I remember one day we lost actually 3-2 against United, but we...
In the second game of Robin, you went through the way.
Exactly, Robin scored that goal.
Yeah.
But when we left the pitch and, you know, like, you pass by the supporters and they gave us standing ovations.
Yeah.
And I have never experienced that somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so that was always stuck in my mind. Of course, when I was young, I was also actually, I had like jerseys of United back home. I was a fan of Cantona, my brother is a huge United fan as well. So I always said, if I once gonna leave Bayern Munich, it has to be Manchester United. And then when Louis van Gaal took over and he was asking me if I could imagine like playing for United.
Yeah.
And also if you see the circumstances in that year, 2015, Liverpool was not as strong,
no.
Chelsea, City was not as strong. So the moment to win a trophy
was
there.
A
like,
chance.
You know, like it's different than maybe now. Yeah. So, and I decided actually to join United, which was amazing. I enjoyed it so much.
What was your first impressions when you got into the club? Compared to Munich and where you've been.
The training facilities, or you talk about
everything,
stadium?
Everything.
So people, amazing, how polite and everything. Yeah. Like, that was fantastic. Stadium, walking on the pitch, nothing better. Nothing better than that. Facilities, actually a little bit like, not as modern than I expected, to be honest. Yeah. I think they rebuilt it.
They're a bit tired, probably. Carrington would have been 15 years old.
Yeah.
When you arrived.
Yeah, something like that. But of course, it was hard for me to leave my childhood club.
Yeah.
So I remember also the first day when I arrived at Manchester.
Yeah.
And then we had actually the US tour, and I had to say bye to my wife and to my friends. Like, it's the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I had some tears in my eyes, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. The people, they really helped me to settle in very well.
Who struck you straight away?
Wayne was there. Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
Ashley Young, Michael Carrick.
Yeah.
Phil Jones, Chris Smalling. Yeah. I actually was always close to the English players. So when we had, when you sit on the table, I probably would have been with you on the table. But we are different age.
Just a bit. That's interesting because obviously, since Sir Alex Ferguson left, the thinking is that for 10 years, 12 years, it's been failure. But actually, in the season that you were there, you won the FA Cup in that season, first season, yeah?
Yeah, yes.
So it wasn't all failure. And that, did you enjoy that first season?
Very much, until January.
Yeah.
But then I got a 3-game suspension, which I still don't understand why actually 3 games I was suspended. And we were first.
Yeah.
We were first on the table. I think Leicester was either equal or like below. But then when I got banned, these 3 matches, I was, we made like 2 points in that 3 matches. We lost a little bit. And then I got my injury.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem because we faced in Liverpool after. So I actually was injured. I knew straight away that something happened. And when you look at the foul or like at the tackle, it was not really a foul, but you could see like, that's not really just a small thing. And then the problem started a little bit, yeah.
And in that first season, I struggled, I mean, I said this publicly, I struggled with the football that Louis van Gaal played at Manchester United, because you talked before about the principles and values of a club or a country with Germany. I think Manchester United have those values in terms of speed, attacking, and Louis' style of play was
control
the whole game. I found it very difficult as a Manchester United fan, obviously played for the club. I found it very difficult to watch. Obviously, you played under Louis van Gaal twice. Yeah,
exactly.
Did you like the football that Louis van Gaal played?
And believe it or not, in Munich it was the same. The people in Munich all did say the same.
Didn't like it.
No, yeah, they had to adjust to it.
Adjust to it.
But he was actually, like, the way he changed the football in Munich actually the most with his way. So actually, still the club plays in the 4-3-3.
Yeah.
Like, he established that actually. He was the one who put me from the winger to number 6, actually.
Yeah.
And brought up, like, young players like Thomas Müller, Holger Badstuber, same like Jesse Lingard, Rashford. He gave the chances to those players.
Yeah.
But sometimes some young players are not making that step, you know, like Rashford does or did or Lingard, you know. So you have. He didn't spend so much money, to be honest, at Munich and also at Manchester United. I remember, like.
He likes Mourinho, to promote young players.
Exactly, or to give them a chance, you know. And it's not always working, but for a club, actually, that's also the question. You're going to go that way, or you do it like Chelsea and you buy Zlatan, Pogba, and for a lot of money. So, but the way the game, how he sees it, it's of course with a lot of risk as well against the ball.
Yeah.
But it was working a lot, I think. And if you go back and check the first, let's say, the first part of a season, from summer to January, I don't know if someone in the past of the coaches had more success than him in that year. So
It just turned after Christmas.
Yeah.
And then what happened that summer? Jose comes in. What happens then?
You want to know? So on my birthday, first of all, because I came to United and we had with 2016 with Germany national team, we went far to semifinals. Yeah. So I came also stepped in a little bit later. The team was has been in US tour, I think. So when I came first day, I actually trained with Zlatan. He was also there. And I was like, oh, great. A player who is like has the vision and amazing to play with.
Yeah.
And then next day, my birthday, when I walked in, came to Carrington, John Murtha was there and he said, oh, you're not allowed to walk into the dressing room. And I said, why? And I said, he said, yeah, the coach said so. So, okay. And I said,
well, without any warning?
Nothing. No warning, nothing.
But you don't have to walk into the dressing room?
Yes. He what? Just stood there and told me that.
John Murtha?
Yeah. And then, it's also not easy for him to tell me, I must say. So,
but why did? Why would he tell you?
I don't know.
And Jose just didn't want you in the dressing room?
Yeah.
What did you do on that first day?
Yeah, I was
with Zlatan?
No, yeah, exactly. Exactly. First day, I was training. So someone could have told me there, you know, no problem. Or explain it to me just like in a normal way, but okay, I went to the youth dressing room. I've changed there and I trained
They kicked you out of the first team dressing room.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah, completely. So I had to ask him to bring me my cleats and training gear, for example, to train. Then I asked like, okay, with who I'm training? And he said like, there's the under 16 team. So I trained with the under 16 team.
Was this made public at the time?
No. Okay, but then actually,
Josie must have spoken
to you. No, I said to him, look, can I talk to the manager like in the afternoon or something? And he's like, okay, I will ask him. Anyway, when I came back from the under 16 training.
Did you train well?
I trained so bad. No, I was like thinking, what's going on? Is it a joke or is like something going on here? And then actually had a meeting with him after in the afternoon. Yeah. And
what happened?
No, he just explained me that he didn't see me happy here at United, because when I had my injury, I did my rehab with the German doctors, for example. And I spent time then in Germany. Of course, I came back to United and was in a conversation or contacts with the doctors and I watched the games. So that was I had with Louis van Gaal the conversation when he was the coach. He said like, look, come on the weekends to United, be in contact with the doctor and do your rehab. You need to be fit, you know, because that was the FA Cup final. So, which I almost could have played, but. Yeah. So that was our day and our agreement. So I just kept to the agreement, you know.
Do you think they thought that you just got ready for Germany and dismissed United?
Maybe, but for me, it was just the thing to get healthy and to be able to play as soon as I could have played, as bad as it would have been for my national team tournament as well. I didn't start the first game or the second game, you know. So I kept to the, I stick to the agreement with Louis van Gaal. And but obviously, then maybe the board or thought a little bit differently about that.
Anybody else get moved to the under 16 dressing room?
No. It was just me.
Just you.
And then actually, after that, I was training alone for at least 3 months with a fitness guy.
Who was that?
Paolo. So I trained always before the team
Jose
trained.
Jose never
after.
Let you train with the first team?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I guess they wanted to get rid of me, you know, like...
I get that. Yeah. that's I mean, pretty obvious. But, I mean, but there is a way to do things.
Exactly. But in that moment, actually, I was like, okay, good. But I still was super happy at United. I loved to wear the jersey. I loved it, you know, like... And I was saying, okay, maybe it's a period. I will train now, I keep myself fit, and maybe one day...
They change their mind.
My dream was always to step back at the Old Trafford, you know?
How are the players with you, by the way? Because
I didn't see them. Sometimes I passed by a few, or I got a message, but
But you said those players that were looked after you first arrived, they must have kept in contact with you and sort of said...
Yeah, they said they didn't understand, but I don't know. Like, they didn't understand the decision and stuff. So, but I didn't see them, actually, because I literally had to train in the morning or after their session to not see them. So it was... And then sometimes...
You know that's illegal. No, it's not allowed.
Okay.
I mean, what I'm saying to you is that I'm not... I was a PFA union rep. You're not allowed actually to do that.
Okay.
You're not. You're not allowed to dismiss someone from the... It's constructive dismissal in some ways.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into employment law with you, but I will for a second.
Thank you.
You know,
It's good to know.
No, but it's probably a few years too late. You probably should have come and seen me at the time.
Yeah.
But I'm stunned at what I'm hearing. I'm embarrassed, actually.
Because
I always think that, look, players leave clubs. Players left the club when I was at Manchester United. But you do it with, well, look, sometimes it can be an angry. Because sometimes it can be a problem where a player and a manager fall out and it has to, and a player leaves. But there's a way to do things. There's a way to behave. There's a way to act.
I was not happy, obviously. And I was also very sad because, like I said, I really, Manchester United is my second club in my heart, you know. So I was really there with everything, and I think I gave a lot, like everything, when I played as well. So that's why I was like very sad, actually, how I got treated. But I'm not this kind of person who is then running to the media and talk about it and try to say something and just be like the complicated guy and like the focus on that thing, that on football, you know. It was more important for me to behave like I did. And I said to myself, okay, listen, do your job, train, and maybe one day you get a chance.
Did you go back and see anyone else? Did you go and see anyone and say, look, come on, this is not right? You know, did you go and see Jose again? Did you go and see John Murta again? Did you speak to
them? No, Ed Woodward was back in the days, of course.
You spoke to Ed?
We had also the... my agent also spoke to him, but the decision was made.
Did you go and speak to Ed?
I spoke later to him, yes. But for me, for example, it was very hard to see them... Because I knew it was not only Jose's decision, it was also the club's decision.
So it came from above Jose, you think?
I mean, I guess so, because Jose, actually, when we spoke, like, he knows me as a player, you know, and when he was working for Real or Inter Milan, like, there were some interactions as well. So I think it was both a little bit, but it hurt me, obviously, when he was saying that I'm not happy here and... Because that was not true. I was very happy at United, and it was just I was unhappy because of my injuries. Yeah. You know.
Do you think this time? I mean, I'm hearing this type. Well, I think everyone's hearing it for the first time. Do you think this sort of explains culturally? You know, everyone talks about in the last 10 years, Manchester United's culture is bad. That you know, it's you know, great managers have gone there and failed. Great players have gone there and underachieved. Mm. I said it becomes a graveyard. For good players. Does this type of thing explain, this instance explain, you think, why that culture? Because I always think if you do something like that to Bastian Schweinsteiger, that every other player must think, well, if they can do it to him, imagine what they're going to do to me.
Maybe it's that you kind of, you do it just to make a statement, you know, for the rest of the group. Maybe that's it. But I didn't understand the way. You know, like you could have done it like also differently, you know, speak to me normal, but not in that way. But in the end of the day, I must also say that after the 3 months training on my own, one day, Jose or his assistant, Rui?
Yeah.
I think Rui, he came to me and said like, look, you can train with us. Train from tomorrow with us. Then I trained with them, and actually I think I trained well. So because, you know, when you play then with Paul Pogba, you know, I like to play with him, with Zlatan, you know, there was
a connection. Why did they change their mind after 3 months?
I think that they haven't had their best games. Yeah, season was a little bit tough. And maybe they wanted also to have an impact on the training field as well first. So, I did that. And then later on, like, I got my minutes, but still it was sometimes when you see other players playing in your position and you actually think, I think that I'm actually better than this guy. I can give
who's
much
in,
more.
Who's in your position there?
You know.
who was it? It was obviously Pogba.
No, we had Paul, we had Ander Herrera, we had Michael Carrick, we had Schneiderlin, Fellaini.
Yeah.
So, and I thought that I'm not the last one in that group, you know, like for that position.
Yeah.
So, and when you train, you see, and you know, the big players, they also see it immediately, you know.
Yeah.
So, but then I actually played a few more minutes and stuff, but and also Jose, he apologized
Well, he said sorry to you for what had happened.
Yeah, he said in the end, he said, first I need to tell you, for me it was not easy then sometimes being sitting there after a game and then people came in and from the board and they came to shake the hand. That was for me not easy because I was thinking, you guys actually treated me not like a gentleman, like not like normal in my eyes. So I could feel in my heart.
So when the board came in, yeah, because at United, the director's coming after the match
correct,
to shake
hands. Correct,
you, yeah, you thought
so,
that was...
So my heart was not anymore so full of red.
Wasn't there, yeah. But it can't be, can it?
It was a little bit broke, like, because no one said, apologized, you know, until then, actually. The first time when someone apologized was then when I decided to leave United to America. And I asked Jose if I can do that. He said to me that he apologized for the way he treated me in the beginning, and he could not. He had to let me go because he could not do something against my decision again. You know, like so he could not say no to me in that moment.
You think that team was good enough? You just don't think. 100%,
100%. I would love to see him in a better team. I call him one of the best midfielders I played with.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
People have this perception of what Paul Pogba was like at Manchester United, but what was he like in that time that you were there when you played?
I call him one of the best midfielders I played with.
Yeah.
I think you could see it definitely when he was playing at the French national team. You could see which kind of potential he has when he has the right team around him. So I enjoyed playing with him so much. Him and Zlatan.
Yeah.
Wayne. That was so nice. We had the right pieces.
Yeah.
But
what was it that was missing? Or was it just that City was so...
that we played together. It was actually all there. But you just needed to put the puzzle together.
And what was the... What would you have done? What would be the team that you would have picked?
I would have
You're picked... You're the coach for 2 minutes.
David De Gea, Valencia. Okay, backline was not that important. left, Luke Shaw. Yeah, you could play with Chris Smalling or Phil Jones or Rojo or... But then left Luke Shaw, midfield Pogba, Schweinsteiger, maybe Carrick or up front Rooney, Ibrahimovic. That's enough. Rashford.
You think that team was good enough? You just don't think it was bloody?
100%, 100%. If you need long balls, put Fellaini in, bring long balls. You can do that if you want.
It's interesting because obviously you've been successful all the way through your career. You've seen World Cup finals, Champions League finals, title wins. that your belief was there that Manchester United could be good enough.
That was 100%.
So what was the problem then? What was the issue? What is the issue? Everyone's trying to put the finger on why Manchester United is not successful over these years of Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Of course, sometimes you spend the money completely wrong. You have to adapt also how football is changing or not changing. And the easiest example, and where actually United should have learned out of it, is just, I don't know how many miles is Liverpool away from United?
45 miles.
Exactly. Just look over there. What did Klopp do? Did he sign a lot of huge money transfers? No. Look where he got Robertson. The same he did other players. The same he did at Borussia Dortmund. He found Lewandowski. He found Götze. He found Hummels, Piszczek, Blazikowski, Gundogan. All those players. Yeah. Reus.
So the recruitment, basically.
Just have to look 45 miles aside and just see how they do it. And they're dominating since how long now?
They've had 7 or 8 years. I mean, obviously, Pep's got dominated, but they've had a great 7 or 8 years.
It's stable, it's up there, and it doesn't have
no
the wave like United does.
Talk to me about Marcus Rashford.
I would love to see him in a better team where he gets the balls in the right moment. I would love to see that because in the past, you don't really see that, you know? So if he would play for a different team, maybe he would also increase his level a little bit more. He's still like the player who can decide the games, but he doesn't show it too many times because maybe he's also inside a little bit frustrated how it is, you know?
Do you think he needs to leave? Or do you think he needs to just get better players at Manchester United?
I think that, first of all, he has to understand he can also be the example, you know? Like, you can handle frustration also differently.
Yeah.
But someone needs to tell him and speak with him, you know? And also, it has to come from his own. That's very important. Sometimes you have these coaches who tell you, stay left, stay right, but you need to understand. If you play for Pep Guardiola, you need to understand what he wants, and then you have to do it.
Yeah.
But you cannot just go to someone and say, "Hey, I run faster or decide the games." You need to help him, and he needs to understand why.
But you have played against Paul Scholes, Frank Lampard, and Steven Gerrard. They're all exceptional players.
Yeah, that's true.
And this debate in England around who is the best. Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard, because when there was three of them, Gerrard and Lampard played in the centre and Scholes got moved to the left. And there's this debate about, what's your thoughts on that? Because they're all great in different ways.
They were very good players, all three of them. All in a different way, I must say.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for example, Paul Scholes much more than I know. I maybe know a little bit more about Frank Lampard because I faced him a little bit more often. Yeah. So when you face someone in a game, you know more or less how good he is or not, right?
Yeah.
And when you train with someone, even more.
Yeah.
So that's why it's for me tough to say about Steven Gerrard. You know, I played against him in the English national team, but not too many times, to be honest. So I can't really say who is the best one of all three of them. I rise them very, very, very high. And that's why it's probably unfair to pick someone from them. They will dominate the league immediately and the game will change also in England.
Have you been critical in the past of how everyone's changed?
He's a genius. The German football was number one in the world.
You played under great managers, and not many people have played under Pep Guardiola, Hankers, Lou van Gaal, Jose Mourinho.
Ottmar Hitzfeld.
Great managers, some of you can love. Some of the great managers in the last 20, 25 years, in history actually, of the game.
Unfortunately, not Sir Alex.
Yeah. No. But you played under some of the great managers that have won everything. If you were a manager now, who would you most be like?
Probably Jupp Heynckes. Because what I liked on him is that you know, you have these managers and they have their style, they have their rituals and... And Jupp Heynckes, I remember when we lost 2012, the Champions League final against Chelsea, and we lost also a cup final against Dortmund, and we lost the league also, even if we were 9 points leading by time, by one moment. He was able to change his approach to the team in his age.
His style of play, or his...
Yeah, like in small things, like he changed a little bit also the style, but also we changed also a few players, but he adapted more. He was more listening to the team. The conversation was even closer.
Okay.
And I appreciate that very much. You don't see that so many times when you have, like you said, like this high-profile coach. Yeah. And he has been able to change his own personality almost, like a little bit, you know, to be able to have success. And then literally like the next season, we won the treble.
So you like the fact that you could adapt. Whereas if you play under, I mean, I imagine... I've not played under Louis van Gaal or Pep Guardiola, but they have their set style of play, and nothing changes.
You need to have good reasons to to change a little bit. Yeah, true. So you can't come up to Louis van Gaal and just say, like, can we do this and this? You need to really prove it. And but, you know, that's why I appreciate very much that Jupp Heynckes was able to do that. And in his, I think he was, I don't remember how old he was by that time, 65 or something. Older, you know, like his... list is also quite interesting as a player and as a coach about his success. So that's why I would, from the personality point, I would definitely take Jupp Heynckes. If you talk about maybe tactics and all this stuff, I mean, Pep is incredible.
Yeah,
I think, you know, when I actually played for United and I heard that Pep will leave Bayern Munich and he signed for City, I was like, okay, they will dominate the league immediately, and the game will change also in England, the way the people will watch Pep's style and try to copy.
You were critical. Have you been critical in the past of how everyone's changed? Because obviously the German style pre-Pep wasn't... It was. I always thought that when I played against Bayern Munich, it was always a physical battle. It was quick players, strong players, always 6'3" defenders, big. Whereas with Pep, obviously, it became very, very technical. Did you like that transition or not?
I spoke once about it, and I think some people didn't understand what I tried to say. But 2012, 2013, 2014, I think that Bayern was probably the best team in Europe, and the national team. We won the World Cup, so we were very high. And then Pep came to Munich, and obviously not easy, you know, when you're a coach and you come to a country and a club where you're the number one in Europe or in the world. But he had his style of football, which is amazing. Like when we played Barcelona, it's difficult, of course. Yeah. And he tried to impact, obviously, his way. And he's a genius. Like the ideas which he gives to the players and how doing the game as well, it's amazing. But what happened is that a lot of other clubs or even the national team tried to copy.
Yeah.
And
it's happening in England.
We focused more on that style than keeping the values of the Germans, which you already spoke about. And I think that we forgot completely about our DNA, and we trusted a lot that way of Pep, which is very good, and we won everything. And, but that was more or less a little mistake of German football, I would say.
It's interesting you call it a mistake.
Yes, because we focused too much on his style and forgot actually about the DNA and the values of... We were, I think, also... like, I don't know, you tell me, how did you see... What was the words which you described the German football of 2014 or 13 when Bayern won the Champions League?
I would say resilient, strong, aggressive, counter-attack, but also set pieces, hard to play against, win the games, winning mentality. That would be how I would see German football, German mentality.
In that period. And then after the next years, let's say from 2016 to 2000 and Qatar.
When you see Lahm playing in central midfield and going in there and you see all the things that happen. No, we've seen exactly the same thing in England. Mm. I actually am on the same page as you. If you watch Pep's Manchester City play against, I'm trying to think of a team in our league.
Liverpool?
No, not Liverpool, against the lower teams. It's not very exciting because they keep the ball for 75% of the time. It's too easy for them. It's brilliant. You've got to marvel at the genius, as you say, of how he's done it. But then you see in League Two or in the Championship, you see centre-backs now on the six-yard box and the goalkeeper passing it to the centre-back. And I'm thinking, I don't know why we've done exactly the same in England. Yeah. It's been a positive impact, I have to say, but everyone is trying to copy it.
Yeah.
And now Pep's playing with four centre-backs in his defence and Haaland. So he's actually changed his style again to a more aggressive style.
Exactly.
And everyone's still trying to copy the old style.
And that is where I see that he also learned out of it, because when he won the Champions League, you could see how the defenders were defending.
Yeah. Oh, he's changed. Like, he's changed in the last 2 years.
When you saw Jones playing as a six, you know, for example.
Yeah.
And how he was, of course, playing with the ball, but more about the defensive way.
Yeah.
And that has changed. He was, I think, he learned out of the time also in Munich, how it was in maybe the first years at City. What does he need actually to win the Champions League?
Yeah.
It's also having defensive strengths. And I think that City has got it and has changed it. But what I tried to say is that the German football was number one in the world. And we have lost our values, or we focused not anymore so much on our values and trusted a little bit more other things.
You won the treble with Jupp Heynckes.
Jupp Heynckes, yes.
You win the World Cup, obviously, with Joachim Löw, and then Pep comes in and you change the style of play. That's what you're describing here, isn't it?
We changed, like, not only like Bayern Munich, even the other teams in the Bundesliga or national team, you kind of adapted to it.
Yeah.
Because obviously Pep's way is great, you know, like the positioning and the thing, a lot of great things, you know. But I think also that you cannot play always in one half, like high up, like it's impossible. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And I always said, like, Pep trained in Barcelona, he had 11 actors on the field. And he had a movie, and he tries to do the same movie in Munich or in Manchester City. But sometimes the actors are changing, you know? So that's a little bit the tough thing for him. But I would never say that Pep was bad for Bayern Munich or something like this. Yeah. He was actually amazing. Like, I wish we would have a coach like him in Munich again.
When I used to play against Bayern Munich, I used to think about giants when I used to play against football clubs. And I used to think Bayern Munich, what used to impress me was the coach. You used to have the coach branded with the bike. You used to have your own coach. We never had our own coach at Manchester United. You know, the bus that you travel to games in.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich had their own coach. Everything was sort of like big, it felt, when you came to play Bayern Munich. And you've got this big boardroom of Uli Hoeneß, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge. How does that dynamic work at the club? Because they're still there now, aren't they?
They try. They are still there. Jupp Heynckes, Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and Uli Hoeneß, they're still there.
They go on forever at the club. Is it a good thing still that they're there? Or
It is. I think it's, first of all, very important to have those kind of people who actually also played on that high level on the board.
So we admire the Bundesliga in England for its ownership structure, you know, the fact that the fans have a real say in the club. But there is this problem of Bayern Munich winning the league. I mean, this is probably not the right time to ask this question because Leverkusen are going to win the league. But 11 times in a row, for us as well, we admire the fan ownership, but then we think it kills the league. How do you see this when you're over it, when you obviously are a Bayern Munich fan, that this 11 is unhealthy, it's anti-competitive? Do you see it that way?
Not as much. I think that Bayern Munich, obviously, like, financially, they're very strong.
Yeah.
Like, of course, if we would like to buy a player from Leverkusen, Bayern Munich can do that
Yeah.
easily. And And we have done that actually in the past. Look, like Lewandowski, yeah. Götze, Hummels, they all played then for Bayern Munich yeah. in the end. But still, I believe that in certain games, it was possible that someone else could have beat Bayern Munich, but they haven't done it. Like I said, like the last 3-4 years, maybe there were like moments in the league yeah. where Bayern Munich struggled and the other teams didn't really use it. Yeah. And Leverkusen now is using it. And yeah. So that was also the truth.
You said there about Bayern Munich can take usually whoever they want from another club, but they've tried to get...
Bundesliga-wise.
Bundesliga, yeah. But you tried to get Alonso, but he said yeah. no?
I think so, yeah.
What's your take on that?
I don't know, like... It's also, like, not easy to step in into a coaching role at Bayern Munich. Expectations very, very high.
Yeah.
But I also actually thought that he might think about the Liverpool situation as well. But also, maybe it's also smart not to step into the footsteps of Jürgen Klopp. So, and with Leverkusen, if he will win the league, he might win the cup.
Yeah.
And he's still in the EuroLeague, so... It's not, and then to play next year Champions League and the way how they play, they can go far in the Champions League for sure. So, yeah. And still he is a young coach. He has time to be coach in one of the best clubs in the world in the future for sure. So what I see, I have to talk about it. If it's good or bad,
exactly. So I feel. if I get the ball played into me and I'm back to goal, I'll be like, get away.
Let them come. They lost the ball and we killed them. Did you like the sausage or not?
Oh, I liked it. It was a bit, it wasn't my new experience. Right? It's, different. Lighter. A bit like lighter, a bit more, it boiled. I wasn't surprising, but I wasn't expecting boiled sausage. I was expecting this big giant.
The bratwurst.
That's what I was expecting. But this is the breakfast sausage, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Like a speciality.
So here in Munich, it's the breakfast sausage, You remember the chef with the grey hair?
Mike.
Is he still there?
Mike the chef? No, he left.
He left.
He's a good guy, eh?
Yeah,
Mike the chef.
He was great.
Did he do the sponge after with the custard?
Yes. I must say, that's what really, I really like. Like, they were all so nice, so polite. And even the people on the street, when they ask you, like, oh, is it okay to bother you? Can I have an autograph or something?
Yeah.
They don't make a hiding.
No.
Camera snap and, or something.
And United fans, they don't really boo the team. They don't really criticise. No, they get upset, but they don't. They're very good in
the
stadium.
And they have plenty of reasons for it, actually.
Oh, they could have been. Yeah, but they never really turn on the team. They always back the team.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's been difficult the last 10 years. Because you're on television. You're on television now. Mm. And sometimes you have to be critical of your own club.
Mm.
It's difficult. How do you handle that?
You need to be... So what I see... I have to talk about it. If it's good or bad.
Exactly, so I feel.
That's what you have to do, I think. Even if, obviously, you always want to talk nice about it, but sometimes, but it is like, that's the same when I talk about Kimmich, when I tell him, look, I needed to talk to you about that because...
Do you tell him after?
Yeah. I see them, they're super nice. They understand also, like Thomas, he also says, like, I understand. But I also ask them what's their view, you know, and how they see it. But
do you like fullbacks going into midfield?
During the game?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes, but not non-stop. Like, I understand when Dani Alves went in to just overload and then goes back. But I think he's still a right fullback, you know.
Yeah.
You?
I...
You were not a couple of right fullback who went
in. No. Get me out of midfield. If I get the ball played into me and I'm back to goal, I'll be like, get away.
Yeah, but you had your strengths somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like Paul Scholes, he posted on Instagram 4 weeks ago, get them fucking fullbacks out of midfield.
Yeah. I mean, I understand. But sometimes it creates overload, and that's how actually Barcelona was very strong.
Yeah.
So when we faced Barcelona back in the days, I was like, Jesus. Why do they have 13 players on the field? Yeah, but they did those kind of moves, you know. And then you as a midfield player were actually like, Jesus. I always told my wingers, look, if your right fullback moves into the center, just follow him.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in, I said to Jupp Heynckes before we played in 2013, we played Barcelona in the semifinals. We beat them at home 4-0 and in Barcelona 3-0, I think. And I said to him, because I got smashed once very bad from Barcelona.
Yeah.
I think 5-0 at Nou Camp.
Yeah.
And there was this game where I was like, I was in the midfield and I was like running and no chance to get the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff. So I said, Jupp Heynckes, please, can we just do one thing? That we have the same numbers in the midfield.
As they do.
Because I knew that I'm physical stronger than them.
Yeah, yeah.
Xavi, Iniesta,
yeah, yeah.
Whoever came there. But same when we faced Spain. I was always thinking, why do they dominate us so much? It has only tactical reasons. Because I can run faster than Xavi. I can. Yeah. He has a very good first contact and passing, yes, but I can...
Yeah, match him in all the other areas.
I can 100% match him.
Yeah.
And... So actually, then I said, okay, just leave the two centre backs free when they have the ball.
Everyone come into.
Put Mandzukic a little bit back.
Yeah.
We are fine. Let them come. Yeah. Then they came, they lost the ball, and we killed them with Ribery, Robben.
I was in the stadium that night. I did the game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you see how Ribery and Robben ran back?
Yeah.
You know that before the game, I told them, look,
they were good, eh? Ribery and Robben together.
If if they were not together, like not friends.
Oh, were they not friends?
They had sometimes this problem.
I can see that though.
When Arjen came inside and he tried to shoot the ball and left, Frank was completely open.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's like selfish type. Yeah, yeah.
Frank
I get
grew
that.
Up on the street, like, you know, like you have two circumstances to see the. But when they played together, they were by far the best. But I told them before the game or like even in the season before, I told them, look, guys, when David Alaba and Philipp Lahm make a tackle in the back, do they get applause from the stadium? They said, no. I said, okay, what do you think if you two, when you run back and you make a tackle, what do you think? Is the stadium giving you applause or not? And they said, well, maybe. Well. So then because they didn't have that in the beginning when they joined
Robben, it wasn't natural for him to run back, was
and
it?
When they ran back and win the duels against Dani Alves or Jordi Alba, stadium give applause. I was standing there. I was on the field literally like and that gave them attention.
Yeah.
And that's what they needed, you know? Yeah. Like it was tough. Sometimes it was tough for me because I got the ball. Arjen said to me, play the ball to the right. In halftime, I walk in the tunnel to the dressing room. Frank Ribery comes to me and says, hey, please pass the ball to the left side. So pass the ball to the left side, on the field. And Arjen said, hey, pass the ball to the right side. It was always like, but they wanted to have the ball.
Yeah, and competitive.
Exactly, that's what I'm missing sometimes when I watch Sané or other players. They're not always ready. They're not getting angry.
No.
Like, in a natural way, you know?
They haven't got the same personality or character, I think.
Correct. And they have to learn to be a little bit more bad in a way. You don't have to do, like, Sané got a red card against Austria. You don't do that, but just show, like, that you're there, and you know? And that's what Frank and Arjen had.
Yeah.
And that was amazing.
Yeah.
But we lost it then a little bit, all these things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the set, I think. And I think 100% we would have also success at United with the pieces there. But
that's a good place to finish. We would have had success.
No, I know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.